Come on, let's give the praise team a hand. Come on, let's thank God. Come on, let's thank God for Master Hilton Gray. Come on, let's thank God for Hilton Gray today. And our praise dancers. I tell you what, man, if they had told me Hilton was going to do that, I'd have given him my sermon time. Boy, man, y'all don't know, he preached up in youth church a couple of weeks ago, and some kids gave their life to the Lord up there, so there's no telling what God's going to do with them. Amen. We greet you today in the grace, peace, joy, and love of God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Love to the family. Thank God for his love that we can share with one another. Come on, if you know God's been good to you, make a joyful noise to the Lord today. Man, we thank and praise God for God allowing our moments to roll on just a little while longer. For those who are watching, whether you are on Facebook, live stream, YouTube, wherever you are, let me take this opportunity to thank you for joining us today. Thank you for the privilege of your time. You are not watching to make us a big church or me a big preacher. We're here to help you become the biggest and best Christian you can possibly be. We want to encourage your spirits, inform your head, inspire your heart, and give you the tools to become all that God wants you to be. Now listen, like us, love us, share us with family members and friends, and let them know there's never been a better time for hope. This Sunday, we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday in the house. As we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the grave, but more importantly for us, it is a personal testimony as we celebrate what the Lord has done in our life. Now, I want you to keep in prayer a couple of families. First of all, I want you to keep the Price family in your prayers. On Friday, we had the homegoing of Sister Irene Price, 99 years old, went home to be with the Lord. Sister Price has been a member of our church for some 88 years. Yeah, she goes back to the Fourth War days to Pastor Lucas. She actually joined in 1935, which was Pastor Lucas's first year at the church when the church was located on Wilson and Solonier Street in Fourth Ward, which is now known as Midtown. And man, we're grateful and thankful for her life, for her legacy. She was such an encouragement to me, such a sweet spirit. And we celebrated her life on Friday. And then I went to Baton Rouge on yesterday to celebrate the homegoing of Sister Annie Mae Sloan, who was the mother of our own Pastor Sloan. He came back from Uganda. There you see Deacon Nay Robinson and Reverend Leodius Jones. There with him and got a little selfie with him. He came home and preached his mother's funeral and did a great job. Was able to be there with him and Marshall and the rest of the family. It was a great celebration. He'll be in the United States for the next several weeks, and so he's making his rounds, and he's going to end up back here in Houston, and we're going to hear from him when he gets back. But we're super excited about what the Lord is doing through him on the mission field in Uganda. Man, our children's Easter program was absolutely amazing on Wednesday night. Now, we normally would do it on Sunday, but there was always a challenge because the Meemaws and the Pawpaws and everybody else couldn't get out for the services. Many of them had their own church responsibilities. So our children said their Easter speeches and had their celebration, and some 200 people were here on Wednesday night to help our children celebrate. Yeah. I thought they were pre-recording. I didn't know they were going to do it live. So next year, we're just going to have to pack it out for our children on Wednesday night during Holy Week. Amen? Amen. We're looking forward to that. It was a great, great celebration. Rooted and grounded, make some noise. Man, we're grateful for our discipleship culture, rooted and grounded. Thankful for all of those who not only see themselves as disciples, but are committed to making disciples. This is the last day to register for our spring discipleship session, which is starting next Sunday. It's going to kick off next week. You have until midnight tonight to register. Make sure you get registered so you can get your material, rooted and purpose-driven life. Remember now, if you have gone through it, don't sit there and say, oh, well, there's nothing else for me to do. No, once you are a disciple, you recognize you are a disciple. Now it's incumbent upon you to make disciples. In Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus speaks to his disciples and he gives them that charge called the Great Commission in verse 19 and 20, in verse 19, he says to his disciples, literally the New Living Translation says, and he tells his disciples to go and make disciples. In other words, replicate yourself so that now you can help somebody else who needs Jesus know Jesus and help somebody who knows Jesus grow in Jesus. So if you are a disciple, the Lord says now it's time for you to get on the road to making disciples. And we have life groups that are meeting all over the world. For those of you who are watching, it's not too late for you to register. We had life groups in Kansas City, Chicago, Virginia, Louisiana, Texas, of course. We've had life groups meeting in Senegal, West Africa, in Brazil, and we would love for you to be part of this life group experience. So even if you're not in the Houston metropolitan area, we've had people as far away as Hawaii part of our life group ministry, and we want you to know that there are people who are ready to pour into you to encourage you in the Lord. So make sure you sign up. Now, brothers, I need you all, the brothers say, hey. All right. Many of y'all are saying, hey, but y'all ain't signed up. We've got two men's only groups. One for purpose-driven life, one for rooted. Want you brothers to sign up, man. It will bless your life. It will bless your spirit. You know, a lot of times as men, we're closed off. We're more introverted. We don't want to share our feelings. And one of the things that I believe the devil uses to hold us back and to hold us down is this idea of isolation, that we're out here by ourselves. And we don't realize other brothers are going through the same thing that I'm going through, struggling with some of the same things that I'm struggling with. We got a great testimony today from a brother that I've known, I guess, all his life. Let's hear his testimony.
Hello, everyone. I am excited to share with you my experience with Rooted and Grounded. For me, like so many others, you really find yourself wearing a lot of different hats. And with all those different hats, you have different expectations, whether for me it's being a dad, a husband, a son, an attorney. And the outside world really not only weighs down on you, but makes you put on this shell. I didn't realize how thick that shell, that armor I had put on, was until I joined a Rooted and Grounded group. And just talking to other men in my group about their personal experiences and kind of the things that they've gone through that were very similar to me really allowed me to kind of relax, to kind of clear my head and clear space for me to get closer to God, to learn more scripture. And I mean, it's interesting because I was even self-conscious as a pastor's kid. You know, I mean, I was afraid people would expect me to know, you know, I mean, the Bible backwards and forwards. And that wasn't the case at all. I think it's something that everyone will benefit from, because at the end of the day, having these spaces to be you and learn more about you and your relationship with God is really what life is all about. So guys, I encourage you, absolutely get off the fence if you are about whether or not I should join a Rooted and Grounded group, especially a guys group. It is a great space, a great place to learn and make some new friends and brothers in Christ.
Yeah. Man, Brandon was 4, 5 years old when we got here. And so to watch him grow up and become the man he is and the father he is a great joy. And just lets me know the rest of y'all are getting real old. Amen. Just getting old. Let's go to God in prayer and ask God's blessings on our time. Father, we bless you today and we thank you. We pray now that you'll bless your word as it goes forth, that all that we do and say will be pleasing in your sight and bring glory and honor to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you can identify at least one area in your life where you would like to see improvement? Raise your hand if you can think of at least one area. Yeah, most of us can raise both hands, right? Because we can think of more than one area that we want to see improvement in our lives. For example, somebody you may want to see improvement in your life professionally. You'd like to go to the next level in terms of your career or where you're working or your job responsibility. Somebody else you'd like to see improvement in your life personally. You'd like to grow in terms of, for example, relationship. Like you're thinking to yourself, man, can I finally find Mr. Right instead of Mr. Wrong? Can I finally find the sister that's going to help complete me and fulfill me? Can I finally find a relationship that's worth getting into so that I not only am willing to spend a night, but I want to spend a lifetime with that person? Somebody else, you're thinking about overcoming strongholds in your life. Maybe you've identified strongholds, anger, bitterness, control, guilt, and shame. And you're thinking, man, if I can just get past this, and just when I think I'm getting past it, I get pulled back into it again. Here comes the enemy again. Here's what I've learned in life, my brothers and sisters. All of us have the desire to do better. But most of us are not able to exert long-term discipline to fulfill the desire that we have. Most of us, when you think about life and think about living, have this idea of what we want to see happen, but we just don't have the ability to make it happen. And the reason that we don't have the ability to make it happen is because we don't have sustainable power to make it happen. Now, most people, when I say the word power, they think of maybe the power of positive thinking. But the power of positive thinking doesn't work when you are constantly dealing with negative thoughts. This idea of envisioning a better future, sitting there thinking about the best scenario turning out, that doesn't really happen really effectively in your life when while you're trying to envision a better future, you are still struggling with a painful past. Somebody else, maybe you're thinking, I don't have enough willpower. I got to get enough willpower. And let me tell you something. Willpower only lasts as long as your will is powerful. But when your will gets weak, there's no more willpower to hold on to. My brothers and sisters, here's what I've learned, that most of us have never come to understand and few of us have ever embraced in life. The overwhelming majority of us have failed to realize that God makes available for you everything you need to live a powerful life. Those of you who are here visiting today, those of you who may have come to church just because it's Easter, those of you who are regular offenders, I mean attenders here at Good Hope. Very few of us actually live out of the power that God makes available to us. We spend so much time trying to live out of our own power, develop our own power, acquire our own power, that we fail to understand that God has made power available for us. So today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, the power to become great for God. The power to become great for God. Now, this passage covers a subject that I think all of us need to come to grips with, the power of God. Ephesians chapter 1 chronicles a prayer of Paul for the people of Ephesus specifically, but for all of us who name the name of Christ. Paul is praying for those grammarians, it would be called a run-on sentence because it just goes on and on and on as Paul is praying for us, watch this, not to get physical eyesight, but to get spiritual insight into what the Lord has provided for us. Now, it's important for you to understand that when Paul is writing, he is writing to believers. He's not writing to unbelievers because Paul recognizes that this issue of people prioritizing God in their lives is not just an issue for sinners, it's an issue for saints as well. Paul says all of us have to learn, because here's what Paul wants us to understand. For many people in life, there is no difference in how the saint or the sinner lives. You can't tell the difference between how a person who goes to church lives from a person who doesn't go to church, because they're all trying to live out of their own power. And he says somewhere you've got to learn how to trust, access, and lean and depend upon the power of God for your life. Here's the first thing I want you to see. Number one, you need to realize God has all the power you need to become great for him. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand. Those of you who are following along online, you can go to our website, go to our app, and you can find the PDF of the outline there. You need to realize God has all the power you need to become great for him. Verse 19, the A part, Ephesians chapter 1, the New Living Translation says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power. Stop right there. That you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power. Now, when Paul is speaking about God's power, but he talks about it in such a powerful way that if you're just casually reading in the English, you might miss the significance of what Paul says. First of all, Paul says it is the greatness of God's power. That word power, dunamis, is where we get miraculous power. It's might. It is strength. Right? It is divine in nature. He says it is God's power, but he doesn't stop there. He says you've got to understand the incredible greatness of God's power. That word incredible refers to this idea of surpassing or exceedingly unlimited, immeasurable. And then he uses the word greatness, megathos in the original language. And the word megathos is where we get the word megathon from, that measurement of units that is used to measure atomic energy, right? He says, when you think about God's power, I need you to think about the incredible greatness, verse 19, of God's mighty power, the B part of verse 19, God's mighty power. And when God speaks, here's basically what he's saying. My power is so great that it can only be attributed to me. Nobody else has this kind of power. It's like talking about somebody and you say, for example, about a young lady, say, oh, she's beautiful. Or you say, you know, she's pretty. But then when you start linking adjectives, you know, kind of starts taking it to another level. Say, oh, my God, she's absolutely gorgeous. You know, brothers would say, oh, man, she's fine as frog hair. Somebody say, I didn't know frogs had hair. That's the point. She's gorgeous. She's beautiful. She's amazing. She is stunning. And when you start using all of those adjectives, somebody say, where is Eve? That must be Eve. That must be Eve, the mother of all women that they're talking about, right? He says, God has such power. And it is virtually indescribable. The only limitation, listen carefully, on the power of God showing up in your life is you. It's in Psalm 78 that the Bible says about the children of Israel. It says, yes, again and again, verses 41 and 42, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And the psalmist basically suggests that if you're not careful, you will put a handcuff on the holy and restrict God from being God in your life. Paul says you got to know how much power God has and the power that God makes available for you. You need to realize God has all power, all the power you need to become great for him. Here's the second thing. Number two, you need to realize God wants you to use his power to change your life. God wants you to use his power to change your life. Now, the Bible says God gave Jesus this power, and this power raised Jesus from the dead. This power seated him at the right hand of God the Father. This power gave him rulership and authority over all the world. This power made him the head over the church. And then he says, now, watch how this power is available for you. Look at verse 19, the New Living Translation. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us. Everybody say, for us. Who believe him. This is the same mighty power. This is the same power. He says, you wonder how Jesus rose from the dead? You wonder why we celebrate resurrection? It's because of the power of God that was manifested on a dead Jesus to bring him back to life. And Paul says, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Everybody say, same power. Same power. He said, is available for you if you will learn how to trust him. He says, the same power. Now, my brothers and my sisters, here's the problem in life. Same power is available, but we don't necessarily access it. We don't necessarily use it. So let me give you an example. You saw my youngest son, Brandon. Let me tell you about his older brother, my oldest son, Marcus. Marcus walks in the room right now. Everybody's going to look at him and say, oh, that's his son. No question. No doubt. I had him. That's my son. But nobody has worked harder in his life to not be my son than my son. Now, he can walk in here right now, and you're going to look, and he has this personality. He has this presence. I mean, he walks in, he just sucks the air out of the room. He just has that kind of charisma. He has that kind of personality. But that brother will work so hard not to be my son. And he looks just like me. And wherever he goes, he uses his last name because that's his name. And folks say, oh, you related to Pastor? He's like, oh, yeah. He goes into the registrar's office. He's got a problem registering for class. He goes in to register for class. They say, what's your name? He says, Marcus Cofield. Cofield. You related to Pastor Cofield? Yeah. Oh, son, I got you, man. Tell your dad I said hello. Man, you don't know how your dad has helped me. So, over and over again, everywhere he goes, man, somebody knows me. They're like, man, I got you. Your pop had my back. But he works hard to not leverage the hard work I've already put in. Now, my youngest son, Brandon, oh, he going to use it all. Oh, man. He had me laughing. It's prom time. Him and his boys, you know, they're going to rent a limo, and they got to go and pick up all the girls. So wherever they go, they got to stand up in front of the dads, because you know what dads do, right? We got to check out the young men who are going to take our daughters to the prom. We want to know what their intentions are when they take them to the prom, even though we had intentions when we went to the prom. They got the same intentions, but you want to make sure, you know, come on now, y'all understand what I'm saying. And so, man, they going down, each one of the boys, man, they going down grilling them. Where you from? What you plan on doing for your life? Where you going to school? Blah, 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 blah. And they going down the line, and they get to Brandon. And Brandon's standing there. You know, he's tall, handsome young man. He's standing there, well-mannered. And they said, son, what's your name? He says, Brandon Cofield. Cofield. Is your dad Pastor Cofield over at Good Hope? Yes, he is. I'm his son. Come on out of line, boy. Come here. Let me talk to you. Man, look here. And that boy will leverage that thing. I ain't mad at him. You got to learn how to use a power outside of yourself. Why work to create a path and a path is already in front of you? When God raised Jesus, he showed that he had power. Look at A. Power to raise Jesus so that you can see God has the power to conquer anything that has held you back in life. Anything that has held you back in life, God says, I got the power to help you overcome it. So many of us are holding on or being held on to by the stuff in our past, and the Lord says, no, the power is available to set you free. Look at Romans 8:37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Every stronghold, every hang up, every hurt, every destructive habit, the Bible says that God has the power available for you to access, to conquer anything from your past. But look at B. Not only does he have the power to conquer anything from your past, God has the power to help you to do anything you want to accomplish in your life. In other words, here's what the Lord says. Same power that raised Jesus is the same power that is available to help you conquer your past, and it's the same power that can help you accomplish what you want to accomplish in your future. See, if we are honest, our shortcoming in life, our failure to go to the next level in life, has nothing to do with our desires. It has everything to do with our lacking the discipline and power to continue to do what we start to do. Most of y'all have had New Year's resolutions at least once or twice in your life, and you could just make a copy and just put the same list up every year. Just get the magnet, just put it on the refrigerator, just scratch out the year, put it right, because you try in your power. And you typically fail eventually in your power. And God says, no, you got to learn how to trust me to be able to help you overcome what you've done in your past and help me to prepare the way for what you want to do in your future. But here's the truth of the matter. Man, we don't trust the power of God. So a lady called me and she said, Pastor, she said, I'm calling you because I need some help. I need an attorney. I know you know a lot of attorneys. So I'm thinking she's in trouble, you know, got something going on down in the courts and whatnot. I said, okay, well, tell me what you need. You know, what are the charges? You know, what you're facing? She said, oh, I need an attorney for a divorce. I said, what? I said, no, that's not my job. I'm not in that business. She said, no, I got to lead this man. I got to lead this man. And so I said, well, tell me what's wrong. Tell me what's wrong. And so she started telling me stuff like, you know, well, you know, he just don't talk. You know, and while she's talking, I'm taking notes, y'all. I'm taking notes. And it's amazing when you let folk talk and they tell on themselves, even though they think they're telling on somebody else. Yeah, because I was born at night, but not last night, right? So she's telling me stuff, and I'm just taking notes. I'm taking notes, and she's, man, he don't talk. He don't ever talk. And then I'm taking notes. And so then I asked her later on, I said, has he ever talked? Well, no, not really, but that ain't the point. The point is he ain't talking. He ain't never talked. You married him. He wasn't talking. Okay, keep on talking. I'm taking notes. So by the end of the conversation, I said to her, I said, listen, I said, I'm not going to give you a divorce attorney. You have to find that person on your own. I said, but here's what I want to do. I want to help you change your life in a way so the power of God can work through you. Now, some of y'all looking at me real strange because I know what some of y'all thinking. You know a divorce attorney? No, I'm not giving you either. So here's what I told her. I said, the Bible says that if you, as the wife, live as you should, your husband, I'm in Peter, I'm in the Bible, can be won without a word from your mouth. I said, now, you've been trying to change your husband with your words. How's that working out for you? Let's see now if you can trust the power of God so that he can be changed without your word, but by his power. So we began to talk, and I began to walk with her and walk her through some scriptures and pray with her and encourage her and help her. And she called me. I'm ready to give up. No, you can't give up. You can't give up yet, because if you give up, you're giving up on God. You can't give up on God. God hasn't given up on you. Here's what we're going to do. And I'm giving her a strategy. And she's praying and she's working. And then her husband starts changing. Now, you know what the response is? He must be up to something. Something going on. It can't be that easy. Let me help somebody here. It's hard to see the power of God when you don't believe it when you see it. Some of y'all are so busy trying to explain it in your flesh that you can't even see the power of God when it's moving. That's why Paul says, I need you to have divine insight to see the power of God when the power of God moves in your life. Here's what I want to ask you, and this is what I asked her. I'm going to ask you the same thing, because it's so easy for us to see how somebody else needs to change and not embrace how we need to change. We don't want to own how we need to change. We want to tell folk how to get their lives together. Listen, we see the toothpick in somebody else's eye, but we don't see that big old oak tree in our own eyes. So let me ask you this. When's the last time you prayed and said, Lord, change me? Lord, work on me. Because if you're like most people, if you pray about somebody else, you praying for the Lord to get them. Oh, y'all acting like I'm the only one. Come on, you know that some folks, something happened, and you find out something bad happened to them. You say, well, I ain't going to wish it on them, but, you know, thank you, Lord. I showed you, because you get what you sow. You know, you reap what you sow. And then that payback is a, well, you know what payback is, right? You'd be like, yeah, that karma is a, woo, look here. And you need to pray and say, Lord, change me. You want God to change your husband, change your wife, change the folk in your life, Lord, change my boss. Lord, God said, no, can you just work on you? Because you're the only one that you can control, and you can barely control you. Let me move on. That's too convicting. All right. Number one, you need to realize God has all the power you need to become great for him. Number two, you need to realize God wants you to use his power to change your life. Here's the third and final thing. Number three, you need to realize God's power is only available when you put your trust in Jesus Christ. God's power is only available when you put your trust in Jesus Christ. Look at what the text says. Verse 19, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us. Here it is, who believe him. For us who believe him. Matter of fact, don't miss the chronological order. The us who need to believe him must be present in order for you to access the same power that he talks about. Verse 20 follows verse 19. So he says, for us who believe him, this is the same mighty power, verse 20, that raised Jesus from the dead, seated him in a place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. That word belief means to place confidence in, to put trust in, to rely upon, to depend upon. He says, you've got to believe. Now, remember what I said. When Paul is writing this letter, he is writing to believers. He is not writing to unbelievers. So this belief that he is talking about is not a salvation belief, even though it begins with a salvation belief. He is talking to saints who are still living like they're sinners. He is talking to the powerful who are living like they are powerless. He is saying you've got to trust or believe God. You've got to believe what God says. So when we talk about people prioritizing their lives around God, saints and sinners have to prioritize their lives around God. And here's the good news. God makes his power available to you if you trust him. It's for those of us who believe. And when you believe, whether it's salvation or sanctification, when you believe God, God extends, God offers, God makes available his power for you. But the question is, are you going to believe God? Are you going to trust God? Because he says the same power. See, the reason, yes, we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday is because of resurrection power. Paul said, let me give you another perspective. See, you used to come into church on Resurrection Sunday, and the pastor goes to the cross, and he tells you that he died until the sun refused to shine. Come on, I got some old church folk in here. He died until the moon dripped away in blood. He died until dead men began to walk. He died, yes, until the centurion cried out, "Truly, this must be the Son of God." Have I got a witness here? But here's what God wants you to know. He not only died on the cross for our sins, but he died on the cross for your success. He died on the cross so that you would know the same power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that can raise you out of your dead situation. It's the same power that'll change your life. It's the same power that'll keep you. It's the same power that'll place you. It's the same power that'll raise you. It's the same power that will make a way for you. And my old pastor used to say, if your problem is not bigger than a dead Jesus in a borrowed grave, then your problem is not too big for the power of God to change your situation. Have I got a witness in here anywhere? Is there anybody who can testify that the power of God can keep you? Power of God can raise you. Power of God can bless you. Power of God can make a way for you. The power of God will make crooked ways straight. Power of God will keep you in your right mind. Hey! That's why we used to sing that song, "Have you any rivers that seem uncrossable? Have you any mountains that you can't tunnel through?" God specializes in those things which are impossible, and he can do what no other power can do. Holy Ghost power can do. And today, I need somebody to leave here not focused on patent leather and pastel colors, not focused on a bunny, not focused on candy, but I need somebody to know that you have not come here by accident. You have not been watching by accident. God wants you to know the same power that raised Jesus is the power that's available to change your life, change your living, change your situation, change your circumstances. Lord, have mercy. Come on, somebody give God a hand of praise. Father, we bless you and we thank you for today. I pray now, God, that somebody would leave here today encouraged to know that there's no restriction or limitation on the power that you make available to us. It is accessible no matter what our race, creed, or color, our situation, our circumstance, our status in life, where we're from, where we're going, where we've been, who we are, that your power is available right now. And God, all you have told us is to trust you to access your power and to watch you do what no other power can do. God, I pray right now that as your word has gone forth, it has found fertile ground on the hearts and minds of your people. Help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.